Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
Of July Eve to each and every one of you. We're going to start off with the big news of the day. LSU missed out on a five-star offensive tackle, but this broke during our stream last night that LSU was able to land Trenton Henderson, which now gives LSU three five-stars. Now on the screen, if you're watching this on YouTube, they only have two five-stars here, but Trenton is an 247 Sports five-star recruit. So you go through this LSU overall for the class of 2026. You see that they have six top 100 recruits with Bryson Martinez barely off that mark. So LSU's recruiting in the class of 2026, really good so far, right? A sixth overall national ranking. But something very interesting did happen today. Obviously, Tristan Keys leads the way. LSU now is on the outside looking in on some of the elite guys that they were after, right? Emmanuel, the five-star offensive tackle that decided to go to Oregon today. And obviously, when you commit to Oregon, that normally means I wanted a lot of money. And Oregon has a lot of money. Emmanuel likes money. I like money. And he decided to take it. I do not blame him in the least, especially considering that Jackson Cantwell, the other five-star elite top 10 national offensive tackle, was able to get a $2 million payday from Miami. Now, it might have been a little bit less than that, but $2 million was a name that was floated around quite a bit. So it was always going to be hard for LSU to win that recruiting battle. But you do move down, and you do see that LSU is still in it here for Lamar Brown, who will be committing pretty soon in your own backyard. And this is a two-way offensive line, defensive line type of athlete. So we don't know if he's going to be on the O-line. Obviously, he gives you more value as an offensive lineman than he does as a defensive lineman, but if he's an elite defensive lineman, it really does not matter. But as you move down here, Diabel was someone that they were after. Faison Brandon was someone that they're after, still after. But as you move down, the guy that I would really like to jump back into good graces with the LSU fans is Blaine Bradford, the five-star safety from Catholic High, once again in LSU's backyard, decided to go to Ohio State a few months ago. So, yes, you've missed out on a few of these elite recruits that you would have liked to be a part of LSU's recruiting class. But to me, the big one was lost today because offensive tackles just move the needle so much more than all the other positions on average when it comes to high school football recruiting. There's not as many good transfer portal offensive tackles in particular that you could go get. LSU was able to get two really good offensive linemen from the portal this year, but they really needed to win out on those guys, Braylon Moore and Josh Thompson, and neither of those two are going to play tackle next year. So LSU very young at offensive tackle. If Tyree Adams is indeed good, he'll be your starter at least for the next two seasons. But offensive tackle is a huge question mark moving forward. I like Bryson Martinez, and I like the offensive line recruiting overall at LSU. Remember, I was on a radio show yesterday in Mississippi. The offensive line recruiting has never been as good at LSU as it is now and as it has been over the past couple of seasons. So I like where LSU is, but I really, really, really did want this recruit today. Now, the last thing I would bring up regarding LSU is Emmanuel Tucker, the offensive tackle that they recruited out of Mississippi, is someone that LSU is really high on. I think he's probably more of a year two, year three guy. And they also have a three-star in Jalen Chapman committed. I could see LSU add at least two more offensive linemen to this class before the season even begins. And I do think they're going to want at least by signing day three offensive linemen to commit to LSU. We signed a Christopher, and we will not be live that long. I do have a 4th of July shindig that I have to go to with the wifey. But, you know, we'll take a few comments here. One thing I did today was really, and I released a video on Power Hour SEC regarding some Arkansas Razorback news. One thing I really found to be interesting is the EA Sports ratings for LSU. It's not the be-all, end-all, but you also have to factor in that EA Sports gets a lot of access to teams, to ESPN, to a lot of data. And one very interesting note is they do have the LSU defense rated ahead of the LSU offense. And overall, LSU is, well, a top 10 team according to the rankings. I believe they are team number 10. Now, why do I think that is relevant? Well, if you're team number 10, that means you are one of the 12 best teams in college football. And all of their data and work putting together all these depth charts say that LSU will be a college football playoff team, or at least has the talent to be a college football playoff team. Another thing that I find to be unbelievably interesting about that is the speed rankings came out, and Berrien Brown was a 99. Jelani Watkins was a 98. Now, I would have those two flipped. You know, this was kind of a viral tweet of mine where many are saying Chris Hilton is actually faster than both of them. And then you factor in Caden Durham, who might be the fastest running back LSU has ever had, especially if you exclude Trenton Holiday from that data set. This could be the fastest LSU team that they have ever had, especially when you look at the offensive skill position players. Bauer Sharp is very fast. Reminds me a little bit of D'Angelo Peterson. And then, of course, Tre'Davious Green is going to spend a lot of time split out wide at tight end. So even though Garrett can't run, this group of skill guys, I would venture off to say, is the fastest that LSU has ever had. Now, why is that important? Well, if you could stretch the field, you can make life a lot easier on Garrett and your run game. And then the second thing that I feel is going to be very important with that is it might not mean anything. One of the best wide receivers in LSU history ran a 4.7 40-yard dash. And his name is Jarvis Landry. I tend to think elite speed can be a bit of a deterrent at the wide receiver position, because if you are an elite, elite straight line speed guy, that doesn't necessarily mean you're quick. That doesn't necessarily mean you can cut. So, you know, with all three of the elite, elite speed guys, Chris Hilton, Jelani Watkins, and Berrion Brown, you do worry a bit about, can they translate that speed into being actually really elite weapons on the football field? So, as excited as I am about this speed, I hope to see at least one of those three, in particular, Berrion Brown and Chris Hilton, have that big season that we're expecting them to have. Now, if you go to our live stream from yesterday, a Berrion Brown debate did break out, and it was a fun one, to say the least. Yeah, I agree, Sam, but nobody ever gets like a 100 rating on video games, right? It's always a 99 club. That's always been EA Sports gaming. All right, we'll take a few more questions. Once again, we're not going for too long here tonight. Todd says, I will never see why Vegas has LSU at 8.5 wins. Vegas usually wins. This would mean no playoffs. Can you please address? It's a very good question. All right. So, let's talk about Vegas spreads. Vegas spreads aren't necessarily predictive. Oftentimes they are, but they're predictive for the reasons outside of their own projections. So the way a Vegas spread is set is, and you can publicly access this data yourself, there are people out there, analytics guys, and the biggest name out there that does this is a guy by the name of Bill Connolly of ESPN. I like Bill a lot. I've, you know, talked with him a few times, and he is fantastic. And I say talk, just a few Twitter interactions. And he has this stat called SP Plus. And SP Plus is a predictive measure of how he thinks a season will go and how he thinks a point spread is to be set. It's not meant to say this team is going to be the winner or this team is going to be great or whatever. So Vegas has their own version of SP Plus. They have their own, we've talked about this guy before as well, Parker at Stats O'War. He's a TCU grad, really sharp guy. And there's plenty of people out there, K Ratings Index, CFB Numbers, that do their own projections and analytics and all of it. So the Vegas minds do that, and they set a line. And then what happens is money gets poured in oftentimes, I say often, sometimes, on one side of the line or the other. All right, so LSU would get bets, or whoever would get bets, and that would obviously reset the line. Because if the sharp money comes in, the smartest people who bet early and not at the last second like a lot of us do, if they bet either way, it's going to move the line in that direction. So just because they are set at 8.5 does not mean anything. LSU very well could win 10 games and make the college football playoff. I will say with a Vegas over-under at 8.5, I would venture off to say that LSU is not going to be undefeated going into next season. I think it's a little bold to say any team is going to go undefeated if they do not return really any of their good offensive linemen from last year. So another thing, when you look at an 8.5 win total, you have to factor in how many 50-50 or 60-40 games that LSU has on the schedule. And what I mean by that is, how many games would you say are truly up in the air next year for LSU? They'll be at Clemson week one. That's probably a 60-40 in favor of LSU preseason. Once again, this is predictive. We don't really know how these teams are going to be. LSU versus Florida preseason, LSU would probably be a 60-40 favorite in winning that game, which means if they were to play the game 100 times, LSU is winning 60 of those times. LSU versus Ole Miss, at Ole Miss, Ole Miss is probably winning that game 55 to 60% of the time. LSU hosting South Carolina, LSU's probably winning that game 60 to 65% of the time. LSU going to Vanderbilt next season, LSU is probably a 50-50 likelihood of winning that game, right? They're a better team than Vanderbilt, but you're going on the road after playing a good South Carolina team. And then LSU welcoming Texas A&M, they're probably 60-40, right? So what that means is, yes, you do feel good when you actually talk it out. You really, really, really do. But when the games are actually played, you're going to lose some of these games. Bye week, on the road at Alabama, you probably give Alabama a 60 to 65% chance of winning that game. LSU versus Arkansas, LSU heavy favorite there, probably a 75-ish percent chance, even though that will be an early kick. WKU, and obviously Oklahoma, you'll probably be, depending on Oklahoma's, obviously, talent, I think before the season, you would say LSU has a 50-50 or probably a slight underdog, 55-45 way of looking at it. So if you go through that, it comes out, if you flip the coin on those games, with LSU having a slight edge in some of those games, take out the three wins, so that's three wins. So what? You have how many games left over? You have nine, right? You play a 12-game season. So if you win five of those nine games that we all consider to be coin flips, that would put you at what? Eight. Now, obviously, not all those games are coin flips. You notice I was leaning towards LSU in most of those games. So you move that up just a little bit, you get to about 8.5. And that's probably why the number is where it is. I could see LSU get up to 9, 9.5. It just depends on which book you're looking at. Also, obviously, check the juice to see which way it's leaned towards. So it's a really good question, Todd. And yeah, let's go to Jerry, who commented before that. I'm sorry, Todd. Jerry. We're going to get O-line recruits. We have been. D-line, not so much. A good D-line class is progress. Gray is forecast to join LSU on the offensive line. Let's go. Let's finish up here with Todd. My point is that LSU should be 9.5 over under at least. I don't know. At least I could see 8.5. I can. I would have LSU as a 9-3 team. That's about where I see them right now. Now, if the offensive line is good, they're probably going to the playoff. Probably. You have to factor in that even though all these transfers have actual college film, and you feel pretty good about them, and a lot of other teams were after them, you have to factor in that not all those guys are going to be good. Some of these guys are going to get banged up. Some of them aren't going to like the system. Some of them are going to feel too much pressure playing on a bigger stage at LSU. All those things are at play. So, you know, I would probably say on average, high school recruits probably have about a 50% hit rate. It's been a little bit lower for LSU in recent years, especially since that 2022 class. Transfers, I would say it's probably about the same, especially if you factor in for the transfers that you actually really liked and actually paid for and went after. You're probably leaning to 6 out of every 10 of those transfers being very good, and probably 2 to 3 out of those 10 transfers on average being true difference makers. Think Mekhi Wingo types of players, or Jaden Daniels, if you will. So, you know, and obviously Jaden's the tip of the iceberg if we're talking about recent transfer portal era. Let's go to Joseph here. Eric Martin was the slowest wide receiver ever to play at LSU. Ever? Let's see. Eric Martin. Ooh, this is interesting. From someone that I trust. Carter, I listen. This is just paraphrasing. It was a longer message from a longtime supporter of PHL. He said he's been listening over the last couple of days, and his bold opinion is Berrien Brown will be all SEC, which would be freaking insane if that were to happen. If Berrien Brown is all SEC in the SEC this year, that is a high bar to clear. Number one, you have to clear your own teammates, which is tough. And then the second thing is you have to clear a 16-team conference. I think the odds on favorites of being all SEC wide receivers, I think one obviously would be Ryan Williams. Another would be Cam Coleman. I think Cam Coleman should have a massive, massive season this year. Another sleeper who's kind of under the radar because Texas was definitely spread the football around last year is a Ryan Wingo. Who I like a lot as a year two breakout for Texas. Now, he was good last year, but I could see him having a big, big, big season. I think he fits really well with Arch Manning. Where's number 5? Really good player. Let's see here. Football speed can be different than 100-meter speed. Yeah. I mean, it's just true. So much of football is twitch and change of direction, explosiveness. This is a good point from Pierce. I do appreciate the pushback. All SEC couldn't mean like that all around all SEC. I think that's what my source here was basically saying. So, and once again, I like Berrien Brown a lot next year. It's just for him to do that at wide receiver, as one of the wide receivers, that's going to be really hard. But is it in the range of outcomes? Yeah, it is in the range of outcomes. Now, one thing I found to be very interesting, and, you know, this is where it's, like, important to really temper your expectations on some players compared to others. Nick Anderson and his recovery from last year's injury where he didn't play it down, you really need to be patient with him. And I don't think it's that big of a deal if he doesn't just hit the ground running coming into next year. Now, if you actually go look at Nick's game footage from when he was healthy, it's pretty good. It is pretty good. He made a catch with Jackson Arnold at QB versus Arizona. That is truly breathtaking. I mean, it really was that special. You know, there were some rough games he had a few years ago, but once again, that's a few years ago. So be patient with him. I did find it fascinating that Pro Football Focus had Nick Anderson as a top 10 NFL draft wide receiver going into next year. This is Pro Football Focus. They have snap and charting data that far exceeds mine. How do I know this? Because I use PFF's snap and charting data religiously. And they know ball better than me. It's crazy. I don't see it that way. I just don't. I think Nick could be a two-year player at LSU. Yeah, yesterday I had some pretty good responses to the jersey patch thing that we did from yesterday's show. I understand not everything needs to be sold. But that is our society. It's capitalism. It's how it works. All right. College football has really leaned into capitalism. It always has. But more so now than ever. So you're going to have the sponsorships on the field. You're going to have the sponsorships on the jersey. Every other team will follow suit because who doesn't like more money? All right. We have watched the biggest LSU games with patches on their uniforms, and it really doesn't do anything for me. In fact, I should have included this yesterday. I am a little bit biased because I do like patches as a sports card collector, because sports card collecting becomes a lot more interesting when patches are ripped off the jerseys and put into cards. Adds a little bit more flair to it. So I'm fine with it because it's just money going to the university. But look, there are plenty of instances where in a team sports environment, teams are going to push products. I'm telling you, one thing that drove me nuts, and this to this day drives me nuts, and it just happened. Oklahoma City Thunder, team that's been through a lot, won the NBA championship. What is the first thing that their best player, SGA, decides to do? He decided to go get his new released gold sneakers and wrapped it around his shoulders to promote his sneakers while the team won the championship. Everything is promotion now in sports. Everything. There's very few sports with little promotion or over-promotion and sponsorships. Obviously, the biggest example of that is the Masters, but, you know, everything's for sale, including myself. I have sponsors, promotions. I'm speaking to a few potential partners next year for PHL. By the way, if you want to join Zion Imaging, Fast Draft Fantasy, and many of our other partners, feel free to hit me up at PowerHourLSU on social media. You know you want to be a part of this iconic brand, baby. You know you want to. But look, I am of the belief that that the jersey sponsorships are going to be a good thing. It just depends on the sponsorship. If it's Tony Sachery's, cool. Now that is Louisiana through and through. I just don't want it to be like something controversial and something like kind of out there, like Accenture or something like that, or some private equity. LSU jerseys provided by Quicken Loans. I think I will say, because it has become so pop culture, Bass Pro Shops, that badge would do numbers. Do freaking numbers, baby. Joseph Bennett says, I'm a little too young to remember Eric Martin. Are you talking about Eric Martin, War number 41? You're all right. I am too young to remember him. It was before my time. But I actually do have some of his cards. In fact, I'll give one out right now. If you are the biggest Eric Martin fan right now, email me, powerhourlsu@gmail.com. I'll send it to you. You have to be the biggest, though. Team USA will be in the final. So if you want something patriotic to do this weekend, USA soccer and the Gold Cup final on Sunday, I'll be watching. You know, it's interesting. There was a Lance. This is very important, all right, because we are, I wouldn't say our show here is like very, I wouldn't say it's gambling focused, but people like Todd, you know, bring up the lines and all of that. There are major changes coming to sports betting with the latest bill. Now, I'm not political on here at all, but I do want to include that, how you're taxed with your winnings or losings or whatever. I actually watch a good bit of videos on it. I don't gamble enough for it to really affect me, but there are people that watch my channel looking for, you know, insights or leans or whatever. I do have sports betting people reach out and say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think? What's the offensive line looking like? And so on and so on. But yeah, I just wanted to put that out there because I follow a lot of people on gambling Twitter, and it is insane how many people are melting down over this, and rightfully so. Yeah, Todd, I appreciate it. I was trying not to think about that. Yeah, I don't have my same energy today. So Liverpool, one of their reserves, but he's a very good reserve, very good role player, Diogo Jota, passed away in an automobile incident in Spain this morning. And it's very unfortunate. His brother also passed away, and he was just married last week. And by the way, he won two different trophies, one with Liverpool, one with Portugal. So this man just experienced the best month of his life. Actually, you can argue that there's not many people on the planet Earth who had a better month than Diogo. All right. So even if you're at the highs of your highs, and you're like me, I've been through a lot of lows in 2025. It's been probably the hardest year of my life. It has been this. Just be thankful you're breathing. Like, be very thankful. It's been hard because obviously us Liverpool fans, we have very close ties to our players, and yeah. Let's go to Moment of Clarity. I like that name too. Is your name Claire? If it is, welcome to the channel. Everybody, welcome Claire to the channel. She says, was there a recent LSU quarterback that you thought would perform better in the pros? So yeah, let's go down the list. Obviously, Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels have exceeded expectations. Miles Brennan isn't there. I think everyone would say Garrett is exceeding NFL expectation as far as his NFL draft stock is concerned. So, you know, I am a huge fan of all of those guys. So every single one of them has far exceeded their expectations. But I thought Joe and Jaden were going to be special NFL quarterbacks. I'm not just saying that because I'm an LSU fan. I have faded LSU players in the past going into the NFL because I thought their prospect profiles were a little shaky. So, you know, I try my best to NFL evaluate these guys the best I possibly can. And I'll probably have a good grade on Garrett as well. But outside of that, everybody has pretty much reached or exceeded their NFL expectations based on who they were in college. The reason you don't think like that is because the only one who failed expectation is considered the biggest failure ever. And that, of course, is Jamarcus Russell. Now, what's very interesting about that, Claire, is LSU fans get this wrong all the time. They have a very negative opinion about Jamarcus Russell. And look, Jamarcus has done, you know, there are stories out there as far as how you might feel about him. But the truth is, as an NFL starting quarterback, that doesn't mean anything to you. Sure, it is better when NFL players do better and it gives LSU a better brand name. It helps with recruiting if you could say, hey, we have the number one overall pick. And if that number one overall pick is good, it helps. But Jamarcus was a fantastic quarterback at LSU. Could he have worked harder? Were the mechanics sometimes off? Was the accuracy sometimes erratic? Absolutely. But there's not many crunch time quarterbacks that were better than him. There's just not many. There's a good Jay Russ stat that I have somewhere. I believe he was the first LSU quarterback to have back-to-back 10-win seasons. You look at that Ole Miss throw, the Arizona State throw, the Auburn game that was kind of robbed of LSU. He was mostly a very good LSU quarterback. But outside of him, Danny Etling has exceeded expectations. I don't think anyone thought he would still be kicking around the NFL and obviously the AFL. Zach Mettenberger had his moment in the sun. I don't think anybody thought of him as an elite NFL draft prospect. Jordan Jefferson, I think maybe some thought he could do something, but obviously he's very involved as one of Justin's confidants. So, yeah, I think for the most part, every quarterback, including Matt Flynn, who exceeded NFL expectations, outside of Jamarcus, was something. The only other one you could even come close to making some type of argument as far as not living up to expectation in the NFL is Ryan Perilou. But that was more so what had happened to him at LSU. And by the way, Ryan Perilou was still a net positive for LSU because he was a key member of a national championship team. Now, did he set our QB room back? Yeah, if he was sitting right here, I've met Ryan many times. I saw him actually a year ago. Honestly, a year ago today, I think it was today or last week, after a wedding I DJ'd in Louisiana. He was mostly a positive for that 2017, and then obviously the wheels came off after that. But Ryan is still the best high school quarterback ever in Louisiana. And I hate that it didn't work out. But yeah, I don't think Jay Russ's like pro failures are really that big of a deal for LSU in the grand scheme of things. I really don't think so. Now, I will say, Clarity, to give you a better answer on who I do think I would consider to be the biggest LSU bust, and I don't like using that word because this guy wasn't a bust. I think a bust would be someone who really does detract from your team. And there's a few I could name, but I don't want to go down a negative rabbit hole. I do think the biggest shocker was Morris Claiborne. Thorpe Award winner, almost flawless defensive back prospect profile. And holy hell. When the Cowboys traded up to go get him at pick number 6, there was not a soul who was against that move. In fact, almost every national pundit loved that move for Dallas, especially considering their history at corner being very prolific. And Morris just said it's a weird thing. that one was a very big shock, and easily the biggest miss of my career. Now, I will say, I didn't have him in my elite prospect category. And by elite, I mean I would bet my entire life savings on this guy not being a good player. Or being a good player. As Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Jamar Chase, and Patrick Peterson. Those are the only ones that I would say a gazillion percent I thought this guy was going to be something special. And, you know, there's been a lot of other top 10 picks. I think those five were just such perfect prospects in my mind. Now, there's no such thing as a perfect, perfect prospect. But, man, I was like, it would be really hard for me to not see them be special in the NFL. Now, there have been others that I wasn't as high on. Like, I did not think Brian Thomas would have the year he had last year. All right. You know one team that wished they knew that he was going to be that? The Chicago Bears. Because they wouldn't have wasted a pick on Rome, didn't do a damn thing at Dunsey. Bears screwed them over. You don't pass LSU twice. Passed on Jaden Daniels, passed on BTJ, and it bit them in the ass. They went and got some Pac-12 guys, and they were not ready. He got drafted to a team that played a lot of zone. Yeah, that was one very common excuse. Obviously, Mo was mostly a man-to-man corner. That was a very common one. He just, even then, it wasn't. It just didn't work out. I don't know why. You know, I've heard of many different things, injuries and all of that. But I do think on average, do LSU players return on their investment when it comes to being a first round selection? The answer to that is a resounding yes. And I think that gets even better when you get into the later rounds. You have Trey Turner's. You have Ethan Posick, and who was a second-round pick and still in the league. Will Clapp was a seventh-round pick, still in the league. There's just so many later-round picks. Jalen Mills still in the league. That turn out to be really, really, really good players. Duke Riley, who has a very, very under-the-radar NFL career. Foster Moreau. Now, a lot of these guys aren't stars, but turned out to be pretty good. One that I hung out with for a little bit at the Super Bowl, Craig Stelz. Craig Stelz was very under the radar. Let's go to Alexander. He says, what do I think about Glenn Dorsey's career at LSU? Okay. Very complicated. Very complicated. My hottest Glenn Dorsey take, I have a Glenn Dorsey story I'll share one time, and it happened on my birthday. It was insane. One of the craziest nights of my life. Was Glenn Dorsey a bust? No, he wasn't a bust. What I will say, though, is I do think the Auburn game changed his career. He was not the same player when he took that cheap block below the waist. He just did not have the same explosiveness, even for the rest of the season. You know, who was really the star defensive lineman in the final week, obviously, was rookie Jean-Francois, who was eligible to play in the national championship game. So, yeah, Glenn Dorsey was a disappointment. Obviously, played with the Chiefs and the 49ers. He was not the same guy after the injury. Now, he wouldn't sit here and tell you that because he's not one to make excuses. But when he was healthy, he was a near-perfect NFL draft prospect. A three-tech who was built like a four-eye kind of gap eater with just amazing speed, instincts, strength, playmaking ability. It's unreal how good that guy was. But I really do think that, and I understand that's a convenient excuse, and you could point to a lot of players saying, hey, it was that injury or that thing or whatever. But I think that was it. He was not the same guy. And his game was so heavily reliant on, and this is the case for every defensive lineman, his explosiveness. He was a freak show. Yeah, Ascension, let's go. Bryson Martinez. And we talked about Bryson a little bit earlier. I read this. David Woodley was what? That's a deep cut. But yeah, I one of my favorite topics is LSU players in the NFL. For the most part, they're going to return on your investment. You know, one guy that's kind of flown under the radar as far as his NFL success is Caleb Von Chason. An absolute disaster with the Jaguars. But did you see him last year with the Raiders? Holy snike. Like, he was balling. Tore Patrick Mahomes up late in the season. And then he's with the Patriots now. Going to be a weird situation because Patriots have Keon White and they paid Arnold Landry all that money. So now Jason's going to have to rotate in. And there's some other ends in that room as well. But yeah, Woodley and Ensminger. Yeah, if you want to learn more about that, go to our Charles Alexander interview. Let's go to PS. What's up, Sax? It's good to see you. The biggest what if in the last 10 years is Darius Geis, but everybody knows the story. Yeah, obviously, that could be a very slippery slope. One thing I will say. So when the NFL draft was actually happening, There was a reporter who said, hey, this is serious. He's going to slide. And every LSU fan was destroying this reporter, saying, oh, we haven't heard this about Darius. You know, our bias was getting in our eyes. Catholic high kid. I could make a strong case. I do think Leonard Fournette was better than Darius Geis. But Darius Geis played with this weird bounce in his game that I've never really seen before. Kind of reminded me. Actually, it didn't really remind me of anyone. It was different how he moved. He was special. Special. But, so this reporter was reporting this, and a lot of LSU fans are saying, hey, this was interesting. Was it Dan Walker? I don't know. I don't want to put Dan's name out there like that. But it was some reporter saying, hey. And everybody was wondering, why is Darius Geis sliding to the second round? And all the stuff came out. These NFL teams figure this stuff out. They do. Todd, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it, man. He said David Woodley was picked, not bricked. RIP. Yeah, this RIP David Woodley. But yes, you know, Darius Geis is so interesting. He really, really, really is because, you know, obviously very serious nature, but damn, that kid moved different. All right, we'll take a few more here. It's funny you mentioned DJ Chark. So DJ just posted this card that I bought at a card show in New York at the Fanatics Fest. DJ Chark. Look at that. It's awesome. Love that guy, man. 3-star recruit, Alexandria. Yeah, I know you weren't saying a bust. I think you were saying the opposite. He exceeded expectations. Chili says, Geis deserves another chance in the league. Well, he's not going to get it. And that's why, you know, NFL stands for not for long. Darius Geis is indeed 28, so he doesn't have the same wear and tear. But his last team he played for were the Vegas Nighthawks. So there you go. I have no idea what he's doing. None. I did go longer than what I told my wife would. Pause. That is such a massive pause. It is such a massive pause. That is the biggest pause of all time. But yes, it's true. Cecil Collins is the biggest what if. Jacques did a really good story on him not too long ago. It was actually a documentary. But I'm supposed to go to this 4th of July party. Don't really want to go. But they are frying fish. So, there you go. Big thanks once again to our friends at Zion Imaging. It really does go a long way. If you are thinking about throwing a big shebang bang, go to Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Weddings, quinceañeras, corporate events, birthday parties, so on and so on. Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com or xyan360.com. We'll talk to you soon. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Top super chatter tonight is Mr. Todd Davis. And tonight we are doing fried fish. Let's go.